Our scripture is taken from Acts chapter 1. The first 11 verses of Acts 1. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid them from his sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." This is the word of the Lord. Dear friends of God, as we celebrate Ascension Day, we're guided by these words from Proverbs: "When the righteous triumph, there is great elation." And Ascension Day tells us that the righteous one has triumphed, and there is great elation. Jesus ascended to the highest place, and we are thrilled. There is joy for us in our hearts, in our lives, because of what happened on Ascension Day. The Ascension is a big, glorious event, joyful to its core. You know it's big when there are angels present. When Jesus was born, we know the story. Jesus was born, and then to the shepherds, who appears but an angel? Angels, chorus, singing glory to God in the highest, and saying Emmanuel, God with us. Angels were present at the tomb on the day Jesus rose from the grave. And they said, "Don't look for him here. He has risen, just as he said." And they gave joyful news of resurrection to the world. And now the angels return at the scene of the Ascension, this time to the small group of disciples on the Mount of Olives. While the disciples were gazing up into the sky, the angel said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you go into heaven." More tidings of comfort and joy. Every time there's something big, the angels show up. And the Ascension is the joyful celebration, the joyful completion of Jesus' ministry. Jesus came to earth. He emptied himself. He came and appeared to us, presented himself as our teacher, as our Savior. Through his life, he was obedient, even unto death. And he lived a life of perfection. He taught with authority. He successfully gathered around himself a small band of disciples who are now ready to receive the transformation of his Holy Spirit and call the whole world to faith. He had lived and died and risen from the dead and birthed a new creation. And the Ascension tells us that he did it. He finished everything he set out to do. There was nothing he left behind that he needed to complete. As they say in hockey, he left it all on the ice. He held nothing back. He gave every breath for us and won a great victory over sin and evil and death. We have a complete Savior. We have a Savior who did everything necessary for our salvation. And the ascension tells us that. It's the high point of Christ's earthly ministry. You know, we go all out to celebrate his birth. Christmas is the big celebration in our society. We buy presents and we prepare for it for months. People get Christmas trees in November. Easter, we get 2 days off. And ascension is one of those days. It's suit worthy, you know. It's one of those days that is a high point in the life of the church, in the Christian calendar. It's a celebration of a job completed, a job that's divinely approved and fittingly ended. With the angels and the whole host of heaven, we praise him for this great victory. And the ascension is more than just a celebration of a job completed, a job well done. It's also a joy for us because Jesus has a new phase in his ministry. Jesus is now reigning from heaven for our good. Jesus says to his disciples, It's for your good that I'm going away. Jesus didn't leave the earth because heaven is nicer. He didn't leave the earth because he wanted to get away from all its wretchedness and cruelty, which he felt and experienced. He didn't leave because he failed to change anything and he said, forget it. Rather, he went to heaven because he's deeply committed to us. He's there to continue his work of restoring us to wholeness. He's there to save us from the wretchedness and cruelty of the sinful world. The very best place for him to do that work is in heaven. And one of the good things Jesus went away to do is to pray for us. As it says, Jesus Christ who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is interceding for us. And you look at this passage, and it's a beautiful passage telling the whole story of Jesus. He died, he was raised, he is now seated, and the pinnacle, the highest thing that he is doing now, the pinnacle of his heavenly career now, is he's interceding for us. He's praying for us. It's the climax of his work on our behalf. He ascended to be our advocate. He brings our cause before God. He represents us before God. In a sense, he's our lobbyist. He represents our interests in the courts of the throne room in heaven. When we sin, Christ pleads for us. And he just stands there and he puts out his hands. And there are the marks of the nails of the cross. And he reminds God, I died for that sin. The evidence of the penalty is in my body. God forgives us fully and freely because Jesus is in heaven praying for us. And Hebrews 4 says all of this when it says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. I love that word, confidence. We can be confident. We can be strong. We can be joyful. We can be assured. We can have poise when we come before God's throne. Heaven's not indifferent to our suffering, our guilt, our shame, our conflicts, our violence. It's not closed off to us because of these things. Christ's ascension as one of us, a real flesh and blood human in heaven, gives us real help in times of trouble and temptation. And we can be confident. We are confident. because of Christ's ascension. And another thing, another good thing Jesus went away to do for us is send the Holy Spirit. But very truly, I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Because of the ascension, we now have the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, who gives us peace that passes all understanding, the Spirit who builds up the church and gives gifts and spiritual fruit to each of us so that the church can stay strong. It's the Spirit who comes among us and moves us to seek Christ in his salvation, who makes us from these dead, lifeless people, dead to God, into people who are alive to God once again. So while Christ is in heaven thinking about us and praying for us, the Holy Spirit comes among us to move us to think about Christ and to pray to and serve him. The Spirit gives us vision as we live in our ever-changing world, help keeping us faithful in our times and piquing our imaginations to remembering that he is in heaven no matter what. Jesus in heaven gives us a picture of what our own Or there's even more joy because of the ascension. It gives us hope. Seeing Jesus in heaven fills us with hope that our own death is not the end of the story. If Jesus as a human being can be raised from the dead because he stayed a human and he ascended into God's presence, there's hope that we too one day will find ourselves before God's throne. That gives us a picture of what our own resurrection will look like. Heaven is where real humans with real physical bodies will dwell. As John Whitfleet puts it, the ascension of Jesus changes how we visualize heaven. It pictures heaven as a place in which resurrected bodies belong. Heaven is not some ethereal, vaporous existence floating on clouds and eating cream cheese. It's a real physical place where our resurrected bodies go. The ascension gives us joy because it tells us who ultimately is reigning over this earth. The world can be a sad, brutal place. It can be painful and dark. And yet Christ is in heaven and he rules over all, and his power and authority is purely good and life-giving. And in the end, these will reign supreme over all. As it says, then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom to God, the Father, after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. And the last enemy to be destroyed is death. The ascension tells us that Christ is Lord. And that is the most joyful news you're going to hear in your life. Christ is Lord. And we await his return, and we live in the assurance that Christ is there in heaven, and there are signs of his kingdom all over the world, in our hearts, in the church, in places that acknowledge his rule, in places that we would never imagine he is coming, and he is bringing in his rule. And here today we have a Christian school coming in and leading us in worship. The Christian school is there because Christ rules over all. And he is Lord, and we dedicate our education to his teachings of love and salvation and learning about the servant way of Jesus and how to be in this world as his servants and his people. And we're so glad we can have Woodland Christian School Choir here today to help us sing of his great ascension and reign, songs of joy and praise. And so what happened there on that mountain gives us great joy. He's finished his earthly ministry, and he continues to minister from heaven. He continues to guide the events of our world according to his powerful and redemptive purposes. He's not absent from us for a minute, but walks with us every step of our lives. Christ is reigning, and our hope of resurrection is sure. The righteous one has indeed triumphed, and we are filled with joy. Let us pray. Risen and ascended Lord, we thank you for the wonder of joy of ascension, that marvelous yet mysterious moment that left the disciples gazing heavenwards in confusion, yet departing in joy. We thank you for the way that it brought the earthly ministry of Jesus to a fitting conclusion, signifying his oneness with you and demonstrating your final seal of approval on all that he has done. And we thank you that through his ascension, Jesus is now set free to be Lord of all, no longer bound to a particular place or time, but with us always, able to reach even to the ends of the earth. We thank you that he is in heaven for our good, always interceding for us, always caring for us. Thank you that he has given us his Holy Spirit, whose arrival we celebrate next week. We have such a grand and glorious hope placed in our hearts through the Spirit of our own resurrection into glory, to reign with you over all things. And we look forward to the day of your glorious return. May we live each day in the joy of this great salvation. Amen.